Shaloma, you're listening to Watered Womanhood, the podcast for women walking in the truth of who Yahuwah, the Most High, says we are, where we uncover what it means to be His bride. I'm Rava Shah Aloha Lani, founder of the Hebrew Housewife, a set-apart homemaking blog for the daughters of Israel. I've been studying the Word all my life and ministering to Israelite sisters since 2019 by the grace of Abba Nawa, with original homemaking tips, biblical marital advisory, and truth-based devotionals. Join me in building up the kingdom at Hebrew Housewife on Instagram and thehebrewhousewife.com, where you can join both my exclusive email newsletter and the Hebrew Housewives Club, a private Facebook group for us, by us. We as women face both external and internal expectations of what motherhood should look like. Some external expectations come from the media, literature, the church, or even family and friends. And some of these expectations are internal standards that we've imposed upon ourselves that may come from our upbringing or the values that we personally hold. And women, depending on which regions of the world they live in, are largely expected to get married young, have children right away, and either take care of their homes full time or ship their kids to daycare in order to resume or start their careers. We're expected to never raise our voices at our children, have a perfect balance between discipline and mercy, and know how to homeschool even if our children attend traditional school. We're supposed to look beautiful all the time, model holiness to our kids, and show our daughters how to exist and our sons what to look for in a woman. And one of the expectations I've battled with the most is making provision for my children in the way others say that I should, or even sometimes in the way that I feel like I should. Specifically in the Black community, quote, Black community, are single mothers very common, in the United States at least, more common than other racial groups. And Black single mothers are known for being strong and independent, even to their demise. Now, we know that this is obviously not always a choice, and I would say 90% of the time it's really not a choice, you know. And I was once a single mother, and I would just say it's really not a choice. You just, you have to be strong for your children, and the independence, that's just a part of it. And I failed to live up to this in many ways, even in my own endeavors to be strong and independent. I wasn't strong and I wasn't independent at all. And I couldn't provide for my daughter what other single moms could provide to their children. And again, not for lack of trying. And even now that I'm married and pregnant again, 8 years later, I still find that people have much to say about my plans to provide, especially since I intend to stay home with my children, if the Lord permits it. In this economy, yes. During World War III, yes. Even though we're not rich, yes, absolutely. Why? Because I want to. This is the vision that was given to me, and I intend to execute it to the best of my ability. And the truth is that in doing so, I may fail to meet numerous expectations. Expectations that my children will always have the best clothes and shoes, the biggest house, or the fanciest new gadgets. Expectations that my homeschool children will be socialized or have a worldly mother. Or even expectations that my children will have the best possible education available to them instead of the best education that suits them and the purpose that the Lord has ordained for them. And I've read the statistic, and I have seen it parroted a lot in this conversation, that studies suggest that the single most determining factor of a person's likelihood to succeed in life depends on their mother's level of education. And by that standard, I guess I failed there too, as I have only managed to obtain my GED, or General Education Degree, which is a high school equivalent. And I'm not even going to lie, Proverbs 31 has some expectations that I don't live up to as well. Like always rising before the sun, baking fresh bread, knowing how to invest in real estate, being profitable in the marketplace or in the economy, you know, having good income for your family. And even knowing how to sew, okay? Like I can take a little thread and needle and, you know, put some fabrics together, but don't sit me in front of a sewing machine. It just seems like all the expectations for mothers comes from all directions all at once. So what kind of expectations have you failed to meet? There's numerous, and I know you're not perfect. So think about it. They can be ones you've set for yourself or ones that society places on mothers in general. Just take a moment to reflect. And as you think about them, I want you to take a deep breath. It is totally okay that expectations exist. And it is totally okay that these expectations haven't fit your life or the various seasons you experience in life. Some expectations are easy to overcome when we don't meet them, like not knowing how to sew or not being rich. Most mothers buy their children's clothes already made, and most mothers aren't rich at all. In fact, globally, most mothers are actually stay-at-home moms. But some expectations are not so easy to overcome, like the new expectation of gentle parenting or never being allowed to give your children fast food or frozen chicken nuggets for dinner. I find that not meeting these expectations isn't the real problem, right? Because no one is going to throw you in jail for giving your kids chicken nuggets, or if you give your child maybe a spanking or whatever type of, putting the rod to the child. Now, I'm not on here encouraging for you to do that because personally, it's not something that I do, but you know, there's no immediate condemnation. So not meeting these expectations isn't the problem. The problem and the hardest part is the shame from the feelings of failure or from judgmental critics. And this shame from a sense of failure can be detrimental to our walk, our mental health, our marriage, and ultimately our relationships with our children. This kind of shame can make us hesitant to execute our vision, and it can make us second guess good choices. And I've spoken extensively on benign shame. It's a concept covered in the Holy Bible that asserts some shame can in fact be good. For example, being ashamed of repeating a matter, being ashamed of putting your elbows on the table at dinner, or being ashamed of not showing honor to the king or the president, because at the end of the day, it is the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do, you know. And the book of Ecclesiasticus, or Sirach, chapter 4, verse 21 says, "For there is a shame that bringeth sin, and there is a shame which is glory and grace." So not all shame is bad shame, but I am specifically talking about the shame that brings sin today. That's the danger of holding ourselves to expectations that we weren't originally ordained to follow, or expectations we may inevitably fail to uphold. And disclaimer, it is great to have expectations. I think that expectations may help us to remain accountable to our loved ones, accountable to ourselves, and accountable to the holy commandments of the Most High, and ultimately the end goal of rebuilding this city on a hill. So having the expectations isn't the problem. Again, it's how we deal with the failure to meet those. And some of the resulting sin from this kind of shame can arise from frustrations, right? Like yelling or unkindness with our children, being ungentle or aggressive with them, or even with our husbands, growing bitter towards our loved ones, being ungrateful for our families, and coveting another woman's life or family, which, if I may remind you, is a sin. The commandment says, "Do not covet the blessings of others." You should not covet your neighbor's house, his land, his flocks, his children, his wife, or anything that belongs to him, according to thus saith the Lord. And it can be extremely way too easy and way too tempting for us to overlook the danger of coveting, because this is one of those sins akin to gluttony. You know, the consequences are not always as immediate as something like murder or lying or even idol worship. And I kind of want to bring to your attention, I've said it before, but the very first murder occurred because Cain coveted Abel's blessing, and he slew his brother because of his covetousness, because of his wrath, because he wanted what his brother had. And that is the thing about sin. Just like holiness, it is a seed to be planted and a tree to be pruned. And it takes us a while, right? It can take a day. It can take years for us to really see that fruit grow. But when the fruit does grow, if we plant that seed of sin, we'll see it. And the word says that sin, when it is fully matured, produces death. The wages of sin is death. And I think that turning to covetousness or envy for other women's journey in motherhood seems to be the main fallout of shame in motherhood. The main fallout of shame in motherhood, at least from what I've seen and from my own personal experience as well. And when we start to not feel good enough or smart enough or disciplined enough to be our child's mother, all we have to do is get on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok and see that there are women who are good enough, who are smart enough, and who are disciplined enough. Women who are meeting expectations of the world, meeting their own expectations, meeting their family's expectations, meeting biblical expectations. And it just seems like they're thriving. You know, they are the perfect mother. They are mother of the year. And the reason why I feel like it is just so important for me to talk about this is because there is obviously a rise of trad women, trad wives, stay-home moms, and homemaking trad women, trad wives, all that on the internet, always telling women what they should do, who they should be, how they should be that person, and providing grading rubrics for women's performances as if we as women don't already have enough expectations that we are frankly not meeting on a day-to-day basis. And what I've noticed is that a lot of these women don't really have grace with one another because they don't have it with themselves. And a lot of these women tend to be Christian. And that's totally okay. That's their business. But they think because they are Christian, or other people may think because the message is coming from a Christian person, that their messages are automatically biblical. And there is a lot of emphasis on, quote, tradition when it comes to these women, and the common message that they all have. And I am not opposed to tradition. However, there are many instances in the scripture from the book of the prophets specifically, right? Isaiah, Zephaniah, that warn against following the traditions of men. And I do intend to talk about this on another episode, but it's the fanaticism of the 1950s, when in reality, a lot of these housewives in the 1950s, first of all, majority of them did not have access to outside work. And if they had it their way, they wouldn't have been there, which is why so many of them were on drugs. So many of them were alcoholics. So many of them were in and out of psychiatric facilities. And number two, that wasn't the life for Black women, you know, brown women. We were forced to work. We have never been really, truly relegated to the domestic sphere, right? We have been forced to enter the workforce since slavery. And that did not go away with the abolition of slavery at all. And in fact, the jobs that we were doing the most were taking care of white children and cleaning white homes, while the same women, or the descendants of those women today, are, you know, fantasizing about a time period that was horrific, you know, in the American paradigm. But I want you to think about something really quickly. Just take a quick moment to ponder this question. Can you name one woman in the Bible who had a normal marriage, or even a normal pathway to marriage, and a normal family? Think about it. Just think. Take a moment, okay? Because, and this is a comforting thought for me, I'm not gonna lie. Because even though Proverbs 31 does have very high expectations of women, we can look through the Bible and see that all of these proverbial women that we look up to in the scripture, none of them were perfect according to Proverbs 31. I think of Eve, Rachel, Rebecca, Sarah, Esther, Deborah, Hannah, Ruth, Savannah, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and even Rahab the whore, who was the foremother of Jesus Christ. None of these women have what we would call a normal life. They didn't have normal paths to marriage, right? They didn't meet a guy, they didn't go out on dates with him, and they didn't shack up with him for years until he finally proposed, right? Because that's what society today tells us is the normal path. It's the right path, you know? And I will even go so far as to say that they didn't meet any of these expectations that we impose on ourselves today, or that society suggests that women should uphold in order to be considered good women or good wives or good mothers. One of these women was a literal prostitute. One of these women was in a polygynous marriage with her own blood sister, which is not Torah, by the way. One of these women's sons was assassinated, and another had her son decapitated. And even the very first woman failed to meet the expectation that was placed upon her, the only expectation that was ever placed on her. Just think about that. Eve, I'm looking at you, girl. I'm looking at you, ma'am. And guess what? Eve still found grace. And if you continue to read the book of Genesis, you know that Eve's story does not end after she ate the fruit. And while we know her for eating the forbidden fruit, Eve is the mother of all civilization, and she went on to be a very fruitful and prosperous woman of the Lord, having many children and doing many wonderful things with her very imperfect hands. And she was still used by the Lord, and we still speak of her to this day. And this is why we should appreciate our own journeys and not compare, and not spend so much time thinking about the things that we did wrong, and not spend so much time thinking about, the things that people have done wrong to us, or what our husbands think and what our children think. And majority of the time, we're overthinking it, really. We should just spend that time rather focusing on what the Most High is doing right. So what if your kids have frozen chicken nuggets for dinner? So what if they eat frozen chicken nuggets for dinner all week? Your children are fed. They're warm. They're safe. No, it's not the most nutritious meal on the planet. And maybe you should, do some investigating to see what's going on. But there are children out there not getting anything for dinner, and you're providing dinner for your children. Don't let people bring about the kind of shame in your life that pulls you into darkness, that pulls you into sin and bondage. So what if your home is imperfect? So what if your love seat doesn't match the sofa? So what if you don't have any decorations in your bathroom, or curtains on your windows, or any fancy new appliances? Your children are covered. Your children are safe. Your children are right where they belong with mama. And that's what matters. And even if you don't have your children with you all the time, because I know some homes are split, such as mine, especially considering I had a prior relationship to this marriage, and with that person we created a child, so I can totally relate to that situation as well. That is okay. It's okay to not meet that expectation. What we have to do is look forward. You are not in bondage. You feel like you're in bondage because you're holding on to the chains. But if at any moment you wanted to be free, all you had to do was let go. And I know specifically one of the great expectations that brings me shame
in motherhood is when I feel like I failed to uphold having it all worked out as far as the home is concerned. It's my vision as a mother to raise my children rurally, you know, in the countryside, where they have land to roam and horses to ride and ponds to fish in, you know, just a safe and open space and place to be kids and explore the world around them without being exposed to things they shouldn't be exposed to or being at danger of being taken advantage of by people who don't mean good for them, who don't intend to do good in their lives. And here I am with baby number 2, 8 years later, and I still haven't provided that, though I am faithful that the Most High will in His own perfect timing. But I'm not going to lie, it definitely hurts, especially when I'm having baby number 2 and hubby and I live with his parents. It's not easy to be told over and over that it's not a good time for us to have a child simply because of where we are, which grieves me a little bit because when the Most High told me to start praying about having a baby and conceiving, we had our own place and we were doing just fine. But I never got pregnant during that time. And I knew that the pregnancy was coming, so I was anxious to hold on to the place where we were and to stay for as long as we could and maybe start nesting, you know, setting up a nursery. However, that's just not how it worked out. And 3 months after we moved in with our in-laws, girl, I was pregnant after 2 years. Finally, after 2 years of praying to conceive. And it just seemed to, boom, sporadically happen at the most inconvenient time possible. Of course, inconvenient according to my own worldly eyes. But I'm willing to trust the Most High's will, even if other people don't. And I'm not going to let people shame me for embracing his will or for enjoying this reward, because his word says the fruit of the womb is his reward and children are a heritage of the Lord. And that's what's most important. We cannot take our eyes off of him even for 1 second. And we can't take our eyes off the fact that children are a reward. In the book of Ecclesiastes says we should eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy all the days of our very short lives. For this is the gift of God to every man. And I just want to be merry. I want to enjoy the fruits that the Most High has bestowed upon me. And I know I can't do that while focusing on the world or the flesh, because joy, true joy, comes from above. Joy chiefly is a fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, or 8. Sorry if I'm wrong. Feel free to correct me. Not some feeling that we get when we do something we enjoy or when we please our fleshly senses. A fruit of the Spirit is something that must be pruned and watered and harvested and replanted over and over and over, season after season. Joy requires work. It requires us to protect our space, our eyes, our ears. Joy requires us to seek it of the Most High. And his word says, seek and you shall find. So learn to appreciate your own journey in motherhood. Pregnancy with baby number 2 has not been all that fun. You know, externally, now internally, listen, I am just like, yes, yes, yes. I'm starting to feel the kicks. I'm feeling the gratitude. I'm loving the whole preparation, but externally, like, girl, listen, it's a lot of monkeys at this circus. Let me just say that. And sometimes I just go to the lake outside and I just stand there and I breathe in the fresh air and take in the sunshine. And I just have to say, thank you, God, for choosing me to be a mother, because there are billions of women on this planet and millions of them are not going to be mothers, but you chose me. And I think this is pretty special. And I don't think any woman is any less special if she isn't a mother or won't ever be a mother. But it's a great feeling to be chosen for motherhood if motherhood is something that you've deeply desired, and being rewarded with the fruit of the womb. And I believe we all understand this to be a universal truth, that children are a joy and a pleasure and a privilege. And I certainly feel privileged even through the shame. So where can you dial back the expectations? How are you getting exposed to these expectations? Is it through social media? Is it through the movies that you watch or the books you read? Is it from family and friends or even from the church or the congregation you attend? Are they in your own heart, keeping you up at night? Pinpoint exactly where the expectations are coming from and try to limit your exposure to those sources. He keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, whose thoughts are fixed on his holiness. And at the end of the day, the world will never be the perfect place for us to raise children, but a peaceful mind is the perfect place to be a mother. There is no better place than a peaceful heart and a peaceful abode where children will thrive and experience the love of the Most High. You are at the right place. You're doing the right thing. You're on the right path. So just take a deep breath with me. And if you continually pray over your children and lift them up to the Most High and trust them in the Most High's hands, tell me, sis, what expectations can trump that? That is all for today's episode of Watered Womanhood. I hope you've been watered. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider joining us over on the pink side. Yes, I am on Patreon, and I offer exclusive content that just can't be shared on this side, like my personal updates, a monthly magazine-style newsletter, the opportunity to vote on episodes, behind-the-scenes contents, and more. I even offer a special tier for my feminine princesses, starting as low as $5 a month. Be sure to follow, favorite, and leave a review wherever you're listening to make this podcast even more visible. Remember that you can stay up to date and join us for some interesting dialogues at thehebrewhousewife.com and join my newsletter for some members-only perks. And let the peace of Yahuwah rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Until next time, my Shebrews, Shabbat Shalomah!